Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 18th, 2012, episode 426, and today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Yeah, I'm waking up grateful, and let me tell you why. Because tomorrow is going to be here in Phoenix, Arizona, drastically cooler than it has been this entire weekend. I'm so excited. Tomorrow is only going to be 108, Glenn. So, woo, it is cooling off here in Phoenix. It was only 114 yesterday with a high of 113 today, and it's going to be about 112 for the rest of the week. So tomorrow, I'm really going to get some stuff done with only 108.
Well, you know, I have to knock on wood, and you know how we said we were going to have competitions to see who was the hottest and muggiest after we moved to Florida? It has just been, the last four or five days have been absolutely beautiful. It's been in the mid-80s. We get the afternoon showers, but that's it. And yesterday we went down to the Gulf and took a five-mile bike ride along the canal. It was absolutely beautiful. Saw the dolphins swimming.
Glenn,
and we didn't even sweat. Yeah.
Glenn, stop. Yeah. It was not a five-mile bike ride.
No.
How far was it?
It was 5 miles one way. Poor Jennifer hadn't ridden a bike in like 20 years, and we'd take her on a 10-mile bike ride to start. It wasn't good.
It was a 10-mile bike ride. Oh, my gosh. Poor Jennifer. See, that's why we ride, because we let the horse go 10 miles. We'll just sit there. Much better idea. Yeah. So as far as the who's hotter competition, I am much hotter. Okay?
Yeah, I give you that. You win.
Oh, God, it's awful. And so yesterday, I decided that the best thing to do would be go horse shopping for a new school horse. And let me just tell you that I have an adventure coming up I'm going to have to tell you about, because you guys love it when I go horse shopping, because usually something strange and bizarre happens. This was just one of those situations where you left going, oh, my God, I should buy that horse just because I feel so sorry for it. But I didn't. And even Chad, I know. Thank you very much. My husband is actually deployed right now. He's up in Canada flying fighter jets and fighting other people. And he actually said to me, like, you're getting another horse. And I said, honey, I need another school horse. And he goes, so you're going horse shopping today? And I said, yes. And he goes, are you taking the trailer with you? And I was like, no, I'm not taking the trailer with me. I'm actually going to shop around and look at a whole bunch of horses. And so this should be a good week for entertainment for you guys.
It's so funny when you hear other horse husbands. That it's like the first thing we say. You're not bringing the trailer with you, are you? It's the first thing we say. It's the first thing that goes through our heads.
Yeah, that was the first thing. And I must admit that, you know, you kind of, when you go horse shopping and you take your trailer with you, you tend to lose a little bit of your bargaining power. So it's almost worth it to have to go back and pick the horse up, because I liked one that was about an hour and a half away. And, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, dang, I should have taken the trailer. But then you may get a better deal on the horse because you didn't take the trailer the first time. So it really kind of pays for itself to not take the trailer.
Yeah, it does. You're right. You're right about that too, because you can use that as a bargaining chip, because they know that you got to come back. So, yeah, it's definitely better. You're right about that.
Like, I don't know if I want your horse as he's loaded up. Yes, it was awful. Awful, and I'll tell you about it in just a bit. But let's go to Jennifer and find out what's on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha, thank goodness it's Monday, because I need to recover from the freaking weekend edition. Horses in the Morning proudly presents together for the first time the two women responsible for more adorables and cutes on the Hidden Facebook page than anyone else. Sammy Joe and Dominique are here, known in casual conversations around the water trough as the Zebra Brain Trust. And continuing on the casual conversation around the water trough theme, Wiley Leslie from Horse Nation is here to splash about in the hottest topics from the weekend. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And we have a very exciting Daily Whinny today. And I say we because this is not just a Daily Whinny from me. This is a Daily Whinny from everybody at the Horse Radio Network. And I'm going to play this first. That goes out to the entire Equitrekking team because they won the Daytime
Yay!
Emmy over the weekend for Outstanding Single Camera Photography. And, Greg Barna was there to pick up with his family to pick up the trophy. And as was predicted, what was it, Friday's show when we had Darlie on, Thursday or Friday, she said, he won't smile. He never smiles. Well, the official pictures are out. We posted it on our Facebook page, and he's not smiling. He wasn't holding the Oscar or the Emmy and not smiling. So,
yeah. I had to comment on her picture. I just, because I clearly saw that he does have the big mustache and it does kind of cover his mouth, but yeah, clearly he's not smiling. So I did ask her if he was smiling. He must have been smiling on the inside, is what I wrote. So, great job, Equitrekking and Darling. And this is another one of these, I think it was the single camera, whatever that they won, and beat out the Food Network. And so who was the other person that was nominated?
Oh,
anyway,
that PBS show that we didn't know was still on. I can't remember the name of it. Can't remember.
Exactly. That's why they didn't win.
But good for her. They must be so excited over there. Their second Emmy. How cool is that?
Yeah.
For a little show produced, written, and directed by a total of three people.
Yeah,
three people.
That's really... really amazing that they did that. And you think, like, all their Emmy nominations, they can no longer be considered, if they ever were, the Susan Lucci of the Daytime Emmys, because they actually have won two. So I always think about when I hear Emmys, oh, poor Susan Lucci. And for those who don't know, Susan Lucci was nominated like 20 times and like never won.
And is the soap opera she was on, is that one of the ones that, well, they're almost all off the air, aren't they? Oh, it's all gone.
General Hospital is still way on the air. Thank you very much. How dare you?
Is it really?
Because what would you do without Sonny? Oh, my God. I totally have to keep up with his mafia lifestyle. Like, every once in a while, I'll tune in. I'm like, yep, that's pretty much what's going on the last time I watched 3 years ago. All the same people. All the same storyline. Oh, somebody had somebody's baby, and then they don't know who it is, and then it's because they had an affair with somebody else, and then this person is going to go to jail, and then this person is in the hospital. Pretty much the same storyline every time I tune in, and it just, consistency makes me happy.
All right, here you go. Your turn.
Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to all the people nominated for the 2012 Olympic Games. They have now listed the short list for show jumping, dressage, and eventing. And too long to go over. But when you're sitting there, let's take Philip Dutton or Boyd Martin, both eventers. They have not one, not two, but three horses apiece that are nominated for the shortlist for the Olympic Games. Will Faudry has two horses. Just awesome that they're able to do that. Stephan Peters has two. just to have one horse, but then, oh, like, which one of my trusty steeds will go to the Olympics? I don't know. Just congratulations to everybody who was nominated, and I guess we could probably post a link maybe to somehow to put them online so you can see them, because, like, again, I mean, the names are there for show jumping. Actually, BB Madden has two horses. All the names that you would expect, and then some special surprises are on there. So congratulations to everybody nominated. And I did see that Sinead Halpin and Wolf Fodry, Philip Dutton, Buck Davidson is on the short list as well, Tiana Kudre, and the list goes on and on, so congratulations to them. And a substitute, by the way, for the entries is Becky Holder on Can't Fire Me. And do you remember what happened to Becky Holder and Can't Fire Me at Rolex?
No, I don't. Tell me.
They're the ones who, at the very end of the course, they were like 100 yards from finishing, and she rides a gray, a Can't Fire Me's gray, and there was a little bit of blood on the knee, and it was like barely anything. He just nicked himself. But being a gray horse, and being that everybody,
right,
all the vets were like,
yeah,
on the other side, one person from far away had to pull her up, and it's just kind of unfortunate. So good thing that they are actually on the short list. So congratulations to them.
Well, remember how we talked about Boyd Martin with Neville Bardos was going to be the darling of the Olympics, that this was going to be the one that was written about around the world? Well, I noticed that over the weekend, the Los Angeles Times, big, that's like the third or fourth largest newspaper in the country, had a story right on the sports page about Neville Bardos and about Boyd and about the whole, rescuing him and then rescuing him again from the fire, and the whole thing was right there. So it started. There is no way, for publicity's sake, that they cannot put Neville Bardos on this list.
Oh,
no,
such
way.
A great story. Such a great story. And I certainly hope they make it. And he's also got Otis Barbieri and Remington. So they've got some great horses underneath Boyd, but by far, you're right, the best story would be Neville.
For sure. I mean, that's just going to be one of those darling stories. It's just going to be all over the place. Mainstream.
Yeah.
Talk about dressage taking the horse world mainstream. Well, Neville Bardos is single-handedly taking the horse world mainstream as well.
Absolutely. And don't think we're not going to talk about the foam finger thing with the dressage world. We're going to talk to Leslie about that coming up from horsenation.com, but just awesome. Now, what I want to bring up is I want to find out, you said to me on Friday, we're going to have some great stories from the weekend. This is going to be huge. We're going to have amazing stories. We're going to a mini show.
Yeah, I don't think quite said it with that much enthusiasm. But the bike ride yesterday was absolutely beautiful. No, the mini show, we did go to the mini show on Saturday, and let's just say that there were lots of minis there, and they were doing lots of mini things. And I got to tell you one thing that we found the most fascinating was they had a vendor there, one of those trailers selling stuff. Well, they had all mini stuff. And the coolest part about going to the mini show was going in there and seeing how tiny they make actual stuff for minis. You go to the bit section, and there's like 50, styles of bits, all 3-inch. And they just look like something you'd hang from your rearview mirror, and don't actually use on a horse. And then the big wraps are little tiny, and everything's just little tiny. It's just amazing. Anyway, we got to see an in-hand obstacle class. Now, that's thrilling, I got to tell you. They have these little obstacles that they have to do on the ground, and they take the little minis around. But we did then get to see a driving class. We hung around through the lunch break to actually see the driving obstacle class. And I think these were all fairly new. I think it was probably a novice class of some sort, although they had 100 classes that day. I don't know which was which. That was kind of, fun to watch for about 10 minutes. And then we were pretty much done with the mini show, and we left. But, that was pretty much the mini show. Now, there were some really cute little minis. There were some really cute ones. And what else do we have to say about the mini show, Jennifer?
Well, the rearing minis were kind of fun.
I need help here.
Yeah, the rearing minis were cool.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed the rearing minis.
Yeah, that wasn't – that's not quite as dramatic as when the horse was rearing when we were doing the parade with Wendy. That seemed more dramatic when you have a 16-and-a-half-hand horse rearing in the middle of a parade ground with all the little children around than when you have the little teeny-weeny mini rearing by himself out in the middle. But I don't think that gained him any points with the judges, the whole rearing thing. I don't think that's supposed to be on the menu for the class. But.
Well, you know that when a mini rears, in their head they're thinking, I'm really going to act out, and I'm going to scare everybody. And they rear, and everybody around is like, oh, look how cute, he's rearing.
I know, that's what we did. We were like, oh, that's cute.
It was the same thing as when people do that. It's the same as when somebody says, oh, you're so cute when you're mad.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, just want to punch him in the face.
But one thing we did learn is that it's as expensive to show a mini as it is to show an adult or, you know, a full-grown horse. It is the carts are the same price. The harnesses are $800. I mean, all the stuff costs the same. So when you're showing a mini, you're still shelling out. You still got to transport the things there. Now, your trailers don't have to be as big. There were some cute little horse trailers there. But pretty much.
Well, yeah, those are tiny. Were the bits the same price, or was like every kind of horse small item cheaper?
No, they're not cheaper. No.
Same price. Yeah, you don't get a break for buying the mini stuff.
I always thought it was weird when we were working at the vet clinic and we would go out to vaccinate minis. And the mini vaccinations are the same vaccinations you give big horses, and they're the same exact price. And I think that people think when they get a mini, they're going to save money. Like, I'll have a horse, but I won't have to spend as much because it's a mini.
Right, right, exactly.
No, it's a lie.
I was shocked when you told us that they get the same amount of serum, right? Does it get the same amount?
Yes, they get the same amount, 1 cc. It's like, I was always like, shouldn't we scale this down a little bit?
That thing comes up to my
water
knee.
It down.
I know. That was our mini experience, and then we went and got ice cream. So that was the mini experience.
Wow.
I don't think I missed anything, did I, Jennifer?
That sounds exciting.
Nope. It was not action-packed. We didn't get to watch any jumping.
Can we agree that next time you guys go to a horse show to gather fun stories for the radio show, that we can pick something a little more thrilling?
We had never been to a mini show. I wanted to go to the mini show. Now, let me say the stands were not full. This tells you how kind of bored that Jennifer was. How many people were watching in the stands, Jennifer?
I counted them all, and including children, it was 105.
And you actually physically counted every one of them?
I did count them. Yes, they
and
were being
when,
very
during
skilled.
That exciting class, did you have time to do that?
I counted them during the in-hand class.
Oh, my God, minis in hand. Oh, just so.
They were doing obstacles. Thrilling. All right, all
wow.
You mini people out there, don't write to me. Get yourself a big finger that says minis, number one.
Minis are number one. Minis are number one. That is that's thrilling. It's thrilling, Glenn. Well done. Way to go.
So you went horse shopping? Maybe that was more exciting. Was that more exciting?
You know, I wish it was. I wish I had some great stories and I saw these amazing, well-cared-for horses. But I got to say that I did go to one place and it was actually nice and the horse was pretty nice. But then I decided, because you can only really do one thing in the morning, one thing at night outside here. So I waited till about 7 o'clock last night and drove not too far away, about half an hour away from here to go look at another horse. And these are all thoroughbreds. So I get there. And I mean, I'm in the desert, Glenn. I hit dirt road and drove for like 5 more miles. Okay. So we're talking back in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere desert. And I'm thinking, how the heck?
No irrigation there?
No irrigation. It's all dirt. And I'm thinking, how do these people have water? Why do people live here? Because how do you get water? So I get back there and I go to pull in and I drive in. And there is nothing that makes me madder than when I get to a place to look at a horse and he's already tacked up and somebody's on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that happened last time we went to look at one, too.
How wrong is that? I mean, you're not supposed to be on the horse. So I got out of my truck, and they weren't like, hey, how's it going? They were sitting there by the arena, and I walked up, and I'm like, is this the horse I'm supposed to look at? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, well, why are you on him? And they're like, why not? And I said, well, because you could have been sitting on him for 2.5 hours, how am I supposed to know? And she looked at me, and she's like, oh, we wouldn't do that. And I get up to the horse, and he's totally sweaty. So that made me mad at first. So then I'm looking at this poor horse, and he's standing there, and he's a sweet thoroughbred, and he looks at me with those big liquid eyes, and I'm like, let me go look. So I walk in there, and I'm like, well, ride him around a little bit. And so she turns him around and canters him around the arena. And is like, and by the way, she's in a Western saddle and Western big shank bit bridle. I'm like, okay. Well, just stop. Bring him over here. Now, I had seen a video of this horse online. And when she sent me the video, I emailed her back and I said, now, the horse in this video, is he still lame on his left front or has that resolved? She's like, oh, he's not lame. Oh, I know what it was. We actually shot this video about a year ago, and we had just pulled his shoes, and that was before we fixed up our arena. And so the footing was rocky. I was like, all right, well, if it was a year ago, I'll go look at him. He's not too far away. So I get there, and I go, and I'm looking at his legs, and his legs look pretty clean, and I pick up his left front leg. And by the way, the feet have not been trimmed probably since they pulled the shoes the year before. And so they're big splayed out dinner plates and they're flat on the ground. And I'm thinking, well, okay. So I pick up the foot and I go to just feel the tendons. And as I look down in the bottom of the foot, there is a boulder in this foot. I mean, a rock that is huge and is totally lodged in there. And so I turn around and I say, hey, do you guys have a hoof pick? There's a rock in his foot. She's like, well, I picked out his feet before he went to ride. I don't know why there'd be a rock there. And I said, well, can I have your hoof pick? And she's like, I don't know where one is. I'm like, didn't you just tell me you picked out his feet? She's like, hold on. And she brings me over another rock to dislodge the rock that's in his foot. Oh, and I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, this is terrible. As I pick up his foot, I realize, by the way, the arena that she said was fixed was horrible. And there was rocks everywhere anyway. And as I pick up his foot, I look down, and there are two rusty nails right there on the ground. So I'm like, where do you want me to put these rusty nails that are in your arena? And at this point, I'm really furious because this poor horse, and he's just so taller, and he's just standing there like looking at me, please take me home. And so I pick out the foot, and I get the rock out, and I'm like, just let me get on him. And I hop on him, and I walk him around. I rode him for about 30 seconds, and I got off, and I said, this horse is crippled. Why is this horse? I said, and so then I began, then I got on my soapbox.
Yes. Let me give you a piece of advice before you tell us what your soapbox was. When you're going out to the middle of a desert to look at a horse, were you by yourself?
Yes.
By yourself. You don't get on your soapbox. People have guns in the middle of the desert. They don't like people like you. You don't get on your soapbox. You just get in your car and you leave. Okay, go ahead. Tell us what you did. You didn't get shot, right? Let's start there.
Well, I have no gunshot wounds. They were young somethings. And mind you, they had like 15 horses there, and the horses were super skinny, and the girls were really fat. So I figured I could outrun them if it came to it. So at any rate, I'm like, listen, you guys, and here I go, I climb up on the box, you know, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. There are nails in your arena, and you've got a barefoot thoroughbred. I said, if anything, you are doing this horse no service at all if you're trying to sell him, and clearly he's been for sale for a year because the sale video is from a year ago. This horse needs some shoes. You're not going to be able to sell this horse because he is crippled lame on the left front leg. And actually, that's what I saw in the video, and how I can't believe you wouldn't tell me, well, this just happened. It just happened. I was like, well, then put some shoes on him, because it happened a year ago, too. And the fact that I drove out here, and I asked you ahead of time if he was lame, and blah, 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 and then I just keep going on and on and on. So then she's like, I said, if you want to do this horse a favor, put some shoes on him and call me. Because I can't ride him. I can't show him. I can't look at him when he's this lame. And then maybe, when he gets some shoes on. And I'm like, I'm never coming back to this place. But all I know is that if they put some shoes on him, at least he'll have a good couple of days. Maybe somebody will save him, you know. So she says, oh, hey, can your dad come over and shoe him? He's like, well, he just trims horses. He doesn't have any shoes. Maybe I can nail some on. And the other girl's like, yeah, I'll go to the country store down the road and get a pair of shoes, and we'll come over and nail. I'm like, OMG. Are you freaking kidding? And I was like, you're going to shoe the horse yourself? And she's like, well, I'm going to go to farrier school in like a year. Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
You got to practice.
Oh, geez Louise, this poor horse. They're like, well, his feet are so big. I don't know if they have those shoes. I'm like, they're big because they're splitting. Okay? They're not supposed to be this big and flat. Y'all are horrible. So at this point, I'm curious. So they, I'm like, well, let me see your barn. Let's go look around. Show me your horses. Take me to the barn, and there's like mares and foals, and nobody's cleaned the stall forever, and this is their living. And so there's like, I picked up a rake that was tines up, and I picked up a pitchfork that was laying down tines up, and I'm cleaning their barn as I'm standing in it. They've got a stallion, they got mares and foals, poop up to the ankles, and I would like you to know. I would like for you to guess. I probably shouldn't say the name of the barn. Because they...
No, that's... Yes, let's leave that one out.
I'm not going to say it, but let me just tell you that they had an incredibly lofty name that included the words impressive and like ranch and huge. They had this huge, ornate name surrounding their facility that was just unprecedented. Unprecedented. Like, remember when I rescued that horse Goose that had the gray horse that I got out of the worst situation in the world? This was close, but at least they had food. And I thought, I can report these people. That's why I wanted to go to the barn. They had food and water. No, they weren't really feeding them very much, but they had food and water. So I can't actually report them, or they can't do anything. But I did call the sheriff's department and report them anyway, and so they'll at least get paid a visit. You know what I mean? So they can't do anything about it, but I think it may scare them enough into it. But at any rate, those people are the creators of really bad ads. They're the inspiration for really bad ads.
On behalf of Chad and I repeat, please don't do that anymore when you're going out into the middle of the desert by yourself. It's not safe. I've been on some really, really hairy horse shopping trips with our friend, Darcy. And let me tell you, there were some times when we were on those shopping trips in the rural parts of Pennsylvania and Kentucky where it was like, Darcy, you shut your mouth. We're leaving now. Because she was ready to do the same thing you did. She was ready.
Okay.
It's like, nope, we're getting out of here.
So this stuff doesn't just happen to me. This happens to her too. Because every once in a while, you go to these places and you find a diamond in the rough, like that gray thoroughbred. I mean, he was amazing. And he's so happy now, and he's got this happy life. He gets massages every week. It's ridiculous. So he found a great home. And so, you know, you're always thinking, maybe I can save one. Maybe I can rescue him. Blah, 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 blah. And in the end, nothing. Terrible.
Oh, geez. Well, at least you came home safely. That's the positive of all of that.
Yes, I came home safely without a horse, and I couldn't even sleep last night. The poor thing just stressing me out. I need to not. I can't do this.
Congratulations,
you know what,
by the way. You've grown.
Oh, thanks. You know what, though? I was thinking, I'm like, thank God Chad's not with me, because we'd have turned around and got the trailer and gone back. Because he would have been the one who was like, we'll take it.
Yeah, you can't. The unfortunate part is when they're that lame, you can't unlame them. You know, that's the unfortunate part most of the time. So you end up with a lame school horse.
Maybe did him a service by getting him some shoes on. I thought I was, until they're like, oh, I'll shoe him. I'm like, oh, God, stop.
Hey, before we go to our commercial here and we get to our first guest, Dominique, who is our guest, was posted on our Facebook page, and you have to go over and check that out at Horses in the Morning. She's coming up to talk about, we're talking about zebra babies today, and we have Sammy Joe and Dominique, our two zebra friends. They both have zebra babies right now. Take a look at the picture she just posted.
Okay, I'm here. Let me hit refresh.
Take a look at that.
All I see is the mini chihuahua. That one?
Oh, no. She posted, I see Dominique's Facebook. Let me just say this out loud. Facebook stinks. I really wanted to say something else. I'll post something and I won't see it. Like, I don't see the mini chihuahua. All I see Dominique's post of the baby zebra. And
yeah,
you don't see the baby
zebra,
you see the chihuahua.
Oh, my God.
I
hope. This is amazing. Facebook is awesome. Love it.
By the way, that picture of the baby chihuahua was the coolest thing at the mini show. That was the coolest thing at the mini show.
They don't have anything big. Did they have any Great Danes at the mini show?
No, there were no Great Danes at the mini show. The Great Danes would have been bigger than the horses.
I know. This probably would have been good.
There was one for sale, and I wanted to take it home. It was $2,500, and I figured that was a little much to have a backyard mini, you know. I could probably find one for $50 on Craigslist.
Yeah, and that's because they aren't any cheaper. Why do you need a mini? I thought we were rescuing you a standard bred.
Just saying. All right, let's get to our commercial here today. You want to do the commercial or you want me to?
Oh, you go ahead. I'm tired of talking.
Right. Omega Alpha. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses and probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies. That's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients. If you want all natural products for your horse, then Omega Alpha is the place to go. They have dozens of different all-natural products that are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, their digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. You can see all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, or you can like them on Facebook for searching for Omega Alpha Equine. They put all kinds of good stuff up there. You do want to follow them on Facebook. And as I said, if you're looking for an all-natural product, an all-natural kind of supplement for anything to do with your horse, go on there. They just have tons of different products available. And, of course, Dr. Chang is the one that joins us and does the nutrition tips once a month. I think he's due to come on here soon. All right, that's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And while Jennifer is getting our guests on the line here, I just wanted to point out that that John Velasquez broke his right collarbone, Jamie. Remember him? He won the Belmont. Well, there was this major accident that happened in Kentucky and Louisville over the weekend at Churchill Downs, and he broke his collarbone. Unfortunately, they had to put his horse down. It was a big crash. They had several horses involved. Now, the other jockeys got up and walked off, and apparently the other horses did as well. But that just shows you how dangerous being a jockey is. Here he comes from winning the Belmont, winning tons of money. He's back riding horses full steam and breaks his collarbone.
Yeah. And apparently this will sideline a jockey for 4 to 6 weeks. And he is actually slated to be inducted into Racing's Hall of Fame on August 10th. So doing the math, he may have just got out of the sling by the time he gets in the Hall of Fame. Do you think he'll be out of it by then? Probably. He's a jockey.
You know what's going to happen with him. He's going to be riding in about 2 weeks. You know that. That's what happens with these jockeys. They ride long before they're supposed to. They got to make money. Got to ride. Well, let's go. Now it is time to talk to two of the finest zebra keepers, zebra wranglers. Let's call them zebra wranglers. Zebra wranglers in the country, and they've both been on this show many times before. Never have they been on this show together. And, of course, we have Dominique from Zebras R Us, who we got to meet in California when we did our Norco trip. Good morning, Dominique.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you for getting up so darn early, girl.
Oh, no problem.
Oh, good. Look at, she sounds chipper and everything. She had your coffee
She's
already.
Still up. She's still up from last night, and she's drinking.
You know, knowing Dominique, that's probably true.
Yep.
All right, let's introduce our second guest. Of course, has been a guest on many of our shows, and that's Sammy Joe from Zebra Guru. Good morning, Sammy Joe.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay, not quite as early in Texas as it is in California, but thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem.
Hey, I know one thing you guys have in common right now, and that's what we wanted to talk to you about. Jamie was like on Friday, she's like, you've got to get them on. They have the cutest zebra babies ever. So here you are. Monday morning, you're on the show talking about zebra babies. Let's start with you, Dominique. How many zebra babies you got on the homestead out there right now?
We have five right now. Five? Oh, I don't know.
That's a lot of strength.
After two, you stop counting because the amount of buckets and feet you have to do is just ridiculous. It's like an assembly line.
Probably true. Now, you did you breed all these or did you buy a couple?
Three were purchased, and then the rest are our own babies. You know, because we get early deposits and people wanting stuff, so, and unrelated pairs, so sometimes we have to outsource a male or a female just because we don't want it to be related to ours either.
Okay. So, now I know Sammy Jo, you just bought one, right? Is that what I read on Facebook?
Yep, I just got a little baby Grevy zebra, and he's just absolutely amazing, loving to death already.
What kind of zebra?
He's a Grevy, and it's a different species. There are three different species, and the Grevys are the taller species. They've got tiny little pinstripes, and the stripes are more like a fingerprint on their rump than like the Grant zebras. So he's pretty fun.
Now, you have how many zebras, Sammy Jo, at this point?
I've got two adult zebras, and then I just got the baby.
And anybody on Facebook, you have seen Sammy Jo because you'll have seen her jumping her zebra. If you see a jumping zebra picture, that's yours, right?
Yes, that's my Zach.
Yeah, I know. That one made the rounds. That one went viral, didn't it?
Yeah, it went kind of crazy. His video is going to get a hit over 1 million views before too long.
Wow. Now, tell me what you do with all your zebras. Is Dominique gone? Did we lose her? We did. Jennifer,
uh-oh,
can you give her a call back?
Yep.
Try and get her back. I don't know if she had a crappy cell connection or not. So what do people do with zebras? Like, you know, Dominique's talking about having orders and things. Who buys zebras?
You know, a lot of people buy zebras, and part of it is just for the novelty. Some people want a challenge, you know, to work with something other than a horse. And unfortunately, a lot of people get zebras when they really don't know a whole lot about them. So that's one of the things that I do is I help educate people on how to care for them and how to train them so that, you know, they don't go out there and, you know, it's kind of like people say, oh, I want to go buy a dog. I'm going to go get a Jack Russell because I saw on TV that they make good apartment dogs, you know. So,
yeah,
you know, people get them because they look neat and they're not prepared for them. But it's mostly just for pets.
Now, do most people that are getting them, are they horse people? Are they horse people who think it's going to be, you know, just like a horse?
Surprisingly not. I would say more than half of the people that I have encountered and done training with who've bought zebras, they've never even owned a horse before. So that's actually, it's surprisingly common, and I would never go out and buy a zebra if I've never even owned a horse before. That's kind of taking a big step there.
Now, Dominique, are you back?
Yes, sorry.
All right, no problem.
I got a question for Sammy Jo. Rilke, you're talking about people that have never owned horses, that are buying zebras. Do you screen carefully the people that you sell them to? Or, you know, I mean, obviously you must, because that's the reason horse people don't buy them is they realize how dang hard horses are, and a zebra would be just 100 times more difficult. So do you screen the people, or do you not sell them to some people? How do you do that?
Well, I've not sold too many zebras. I've had a few, and the zebras that I've sold have been trained. You know, I do a lot of training with them. And the people that I have sold to, I make sure that it's going to be a good match. I don't want one of my zebras going to somebody who's not going to know how to take care of it. And then, of course, I offer a lot of follow-up training and things, too, so that if somebody does get my zebra, they can always call me if they have any questions and on training and things like that. I want to make sure that they're going to have a happy life for the rest of their life.
Dominique, what's the difference between horses and zebras? What are the differences? What, you know, and care and all that stuff.
Well, one has stripes, and then the other one usually.
I love her.
They come in different color patterns. There are huge similarities, and there's huge differences. I believe my greatest comparison is your zebra is like your house cat, and your horse is like a dog. If your cat crawls under the couch, you're not going to pull him out by his tail, and he's not going to be happy. Your dog, you can pull him around the kitchen floor by his tail, you know, and they're still going to love you. So I really just think that zebras are very inquisitive and they're extremely intelligent animals. You just have to know when to go, when the green light's on and when the red light's on. I've had movie jobs that, you know, we have several different zebras that work in the industry, and there's one day that we just can't use that zebra, you know, so we have to go to another one. And so you have to just really know that these animals are, you know, they're just, they're amazing. Like, I have a little colt right now that's standing in front of me, and I'm scratching his stifle because he's got a little itch. And I can do that right now, but maybe tomorrow he's going to be like, don't touch me, it's sensitive there. So we're a horse, they're pretty consistent daily.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they, you know, they are wild. They were wild animals. I mean, they're going to have some of those inherent traits, aren't they, still?
Yeah, they do. And when you pull them away from their moms, you know, it seems to settle the tendencies, but it's always there. I mean, they have a huge, their flight is a lot greater than a horse. But then I've had great zebras and I've had really bad horses. So, you know, a lot of people in this industry, it's a shame. We, when we breed horses, we say personality type A is going to be great with personality type B. And we breed these two horses for sought after traits. Unfortunately, in the zebra industry, people just breed zebras because they're black and white. So they don't look at conformation, color, temperament, or anything. And I mean, my uncle and I, we raised 30 zebras a year, and we're like, okay, this mare's had two babies, and they like to jump 8-foot fences. We're getting rid of her, you know? So we really try to pay attention to the brain and who's good for breeding, and I swear it helps. I mean, we have some, this year I have to say is our best year. We have some of the most amazing zebras we've ever had, you know, through selective breeding.
So, question for you guys, both of you can answer this one at a time. How, you talk about having to learn zebras and having to understand zebras. Where did you learn to understand zebras? Sammy Jo?
Well, I've been around horses my entire life. I grew up on a horse ranch, and I've been training horses, actually professionally, for, I mean, most of my life. And so it kind of started with that, and I also did a lot of wildlife rehab growing up. So I've had a lot of exotic animals and wild animals. And so kind of combining the two with horse training and with the exotic animals kind of gave me a good insight to their behavior and the best ways to work with them. So a lot of it is just taking my personal experience and going with it. And, you know, each one is such an individual. Keeping an open mind is huge. And saying, you know, you can't say, this is the way you do it, and you can't do it any other way. Well, maybe that might not work for this one. You know, so you've always got to be evolving and looking at your training program and constantly saying, okay, well, this isn't working so good for this guy. What will work? So that's really kind of, it's just a matter of doing a lot of experimenting and finding out what works.
Okay. So Dominique, you've mentioned your uncle had you and your uncle raised zebras together. Is he kind of how you got started in the zebra community?
He is my fake uncle by adoption. I adopted him. I needed to have a family member that had access to zebras. So he is adopted. I love him. I got into it a long, long time ago, and, you know, I needed a source for zebras. And, you know, I've been doing this for about 8 years now, and he was my source. And I, you know, thank God it's been successful and great. But, you know, he was huge. He was a huge part of it. I actually bought my first two zebras for a horse trader because I was 16. Well, ever since I was young, I said, I want zebras. I want zebras. And everybody told me how crazy I was. And I guess one person took me serious. And he found me a pair of zebras. And I bought them. It was a 2-year-old wild stud and a 6-month-old colt. And I said, well, I'm going to keep the 2-year-old because he's closer to riding. You know, and these have never been touched or anything. And I had put an ad online for the younger colt and just was working with the 2-year-old. And we got him broke. I mean, he was awesome. And, you know, that started it. And after you have one, I swear I'll never live without one. I love them. They're pretty cool.
So you were kind of a working student for a zebra guy is what it sounds like. But who says, I'm going to take a two-year-old wild zebra stud and I'll get him broke, but besides the two of you? Who, I mean, who would do something like that? It's just awesome. You were just kind of born wanting to do it.
Well, that goes back to your question of, you know, how did you get started or how do you learn how to work with a zebra? Well, you get, you know, I've been kind of, you learn what not to do, I guess. That's how I learned. That didn't work.
Okay. Yeah, we always make these mistakes where we're looking back and going, yeah, I should have known better than that.
Yeah, because it's not like you can go to the local tack shop and buy a book about zebra training. I mean, you guys are kind of pioneering the whole thing. So that begs the question then, Dominique and Sammy Joe. Dominique, you can go first. Have you had a serious zebra injury?
That's funny you mentioned that, Jamie.
Well, you set her up for that one.
No kidding, right? Yes, I have been hugely hurt and attacked and drug around the yard and kicked and bit and all kinds of stuff under the sun. And I just can't quit. And, you know, unfortunately, the reason those things happen is you get horrible, horrible owners that, you know, what I've learned is that when you have a zebra, the public, it's your baby, and they love it, and it can do no wrong. It's like somebody's kid. I don't have people kids, so I think, you know, it's an animal. I don't compare them to children. So, you know, when you get somebody that says, oh, he's the love of my life, he's this, he's that, this zebra's great, he'll do anything in the world, and, like, I have this problem, like, I trust him, and then the zebra is very, very, very bad, and then you can get hurt. You can get really hurt. So you have to be really cautious about where you get these animals. I mean, I'm 1,000% just rooting. Like, Sammy Joe is one of the best handlers I've ever seen with zebras. And, you know, we've had really success here. And, I mean, I cannot press the issue enough to have a good, like, a good zebra from a good home. You have to. It's super important to get a good zebra. I mean, once you get a good one, they're great.
So it sounds like most of your injuries come from people who buy a zebra. Oh, my God, I want a zebra. And they buy it, and they don't do anything with it, and the thing is spoiled. Much like finding a horse that they're like, oh, he just needs a lot of training. It's because they've spoiled him, and they let him get away with it, and he's sick, and he's unbroke. Same kind of deal. So, Sammy Joe, injuries?
Yes, not too bad. I've not had a whole lot of injuries, thankfully. I did, I guess, about a year and a half ago, I got a mountain zebra in that was a stallion, and he was in his teens. He was an older stud, but he had some severely overgrown feet, and he was going to be euthanized because he couldn't get around, and he was having joint problems because of it, and I asked the people if I could help and see if I could get him to where I could trim his feet so we could actually trim his feet and make him happy for as long as he could live. And he was one that almost died under tranquilization when they tried before to tranquilize him to get his feet done. So we couldn't really use sedatives. So I started working with him, and by the third day, I was able to start trimming his feet. And he was really good, very sweet. And he was fine when I trimmed three of his feet. When I went to the fourth foot on, like, the fourth or fifth day, I just did a little bit each day. He was having trouble standing on the foot that I'd already trimmed because his joints were hurting. He had some fused joints. So he was telling me, and I was not paying attention, he was telling me that he didn't want me to do that. And, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, you look back and you go, yeah, I should have seen that coming. And the thing with zebras is they're a lot like mules and donkeys. And, you know, mule and donkey people will understand what I'm talking about when I say this. When a horse kicks, they kick at one speed. They kick fast. When a mule, a donkey, or a zebra kicks, they're very controlled. Now, yes, they can kick extremely hard and extremely fast, but they can also kick very softly if they want to. A mule, a donkey, or a zebra can reach out, and they can just tap you with their toe. So
Immaculate accuracy, by the way.
Absolutely. Very, very accurate. So I was trimming his feet, and he reached up and knocked me in the forehead with his back foot. I was trimming the front foot. And I actually have it on video. The guy was standing like 4 feet from me videoing it. It sounds like a baseball bat hitting my head. And I got a concussion out of it. But he was, it was so much lighter than it could have been. I mean, he could have really got, and then he just stood there. And I was like, oh, yeah, yep, so seen that coming. Bad idea.
He's like, told you so. It's like, it's like the zebra equivalent of him taking his finger and just poking you right in the chest. Quit it!
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was. But, you know, he was sweet and ended up getting the rest of his seat and stuff done, and that was good. But, yeah, I should have paid attention on that one. But most of the time when we do get hurt, oh, and it doesn't count when babies kick you, because babies are very reactive. And especially, you know, in the very first, you know, few days, they're reactive, and their first instinct is if they're scared, they just send their feet flying. So there's always bruised thighs and legs from babies kicking. So, but, you know, every time that there's ever been something like that around me, it's always something where I'm thinking, oh, that was my fault. I put this guy in a position where he didn't feel that there was any other alternative but to lash out. And just like Dominique said, there are a lot of zebras, and there's been a few where I said, you know, it's not worth it. I'm not going to go in with that animal because I can see that he is very dangerous, and I'm not in the business to get hurt. It doesn't do me any good to get hurt. So people do spoil these guys. They get them and never teach them any kind of discipline, or either that or they try and manhandle them so much that they don't trust anybody. And then you got an animal who just wants to lash out and get you.
Right, right. Now, Dominique, you mentioned just a minute ago that when you have these babies, you pull them off their mothers, and I guess that's probably for the safety of you and the future health of the baby, being able to, you know, these are wild animals that are now being bred and living in captivity. So does that just help their future by getting them a little more accustomed to people, or why do you pull them off the I don't know, mare, I guess?
Well, I do things a little different than, you know, the normal. We actually don't pull our babies very early. We start them at 30 days. So they have huge mother instincts. We do not pull them young. We'll pull them younger if requested by the client, but we have found that it just doesn't help, because then you get this young little monster that thinks it's a person because it's been raised by a person in the house, or, you know, they just are too hands-on with it. So we get these little, you know, I don't know if you've ever had any encounters with bottle-fed horses. They're a nuisance.
Oh, yeah.
So what we do is pull them, you know, a little bit older, and we know that they're healthy. We guarantee their health. And well, then we'll put them on, like, a nurse mare, a horse mare, or a donkey, which is great because they learn how to be socialized, but yet at the same time, they're not with their mom saying, run, everybody needs to run. So I have some really donkeys, and we put that little zebra on a donkey, and when we walk up to the pen, that donkey comes, and so does that zebra. And they're not socially awkward being raised that way. You know, we raise them more horse-like instead of, you know, like anything that you pull and raise and feed so often is going to think you're its mom. So I don't want that. I want my horses, you know, any horse colt you own that's 6 months old is going to be a little brat, you know, and so why do we not expect the zebra to be a brat? Why can't they be a brat? I mean, you know, teach them to tie, teach them to pull, you know, do stuff. And that's where we try to do it, is we teach them, you know, the necessities and the foundation. And they're a little wilder, and it's a little bit, you know, harder. But, you know, heck, you got to do what you got to do, and it's not that hard. It's just like teaching a horse colt. I think, like, when we bottle feed them, it's almost like cheating, you know? Because they are very friendly when you do it. But then when you get a six-year-old animal, stallion, mare, whatever it is, you know, they think you're its mom. And when baby horses are with their moms, they rear up on their backs and they play and they run and kick at the mom's face. That's natural. We can't take that out of them. So in my head, why would I raise a zebra when I'm its mom? Like, I'm not going to do that. I just think it's set me up for a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, before we let you go, we're running out of time here, and before we let you guys go, I got to talk to Dominique about one thing. So I can't get an okapi. You're going to charge me $50,000 for one? What's up with that?
Well, are you from the East Coast? Okapi? Okapi? Okapi?
How do you say it?
No, you know what, Glenn?
Thank you, Glenn, for posting that. I actually got four people that want to buy one right now.
Really?
Yeah. You know, in the exotic animal business, $50,000 is, you know, people can buy two of those if we found one. You know, they're here down in the San Diego Zoo, and I'm affiliates with them. They're partners with Zebras R Us, and we get, you know, we're on an animal exchange program. So they've purchased several zebras, and I get their throwback animals. So, you know, $50,000 is usually the going price for those guys.
Well, geez, I'm going to send you a bill now for the advertising, Dominique.
I know. It was good. Thank you.
This is, by the way, how do you say it anyway?
It's an Okapi.
Okapi.
It just depends on how
to fill people in. We went to Disney and we went to Animal Kingdom, and I just thought they were the coolest animals because they sort of have the zebra stripes on the bottom. They're sort of like, I don't know what they are. They're kind of an odd-looking creature, but I just thought they were cool as heck. And that, when I posted that, and then you posted back $50,000, and then I saw a couple people went, I want one. It's like, what?
Yeah. Now, did you get to touch it?
No. We did not.
Their coat is like velvet. I mean, I've never felt anything in my life this soft, besides like a velveteen, like a rabbit. I mean, their hair is just, it's amazing. Their hair is amazing. They're pretty cool little animals, and they're really smart, and they're actually pretty docile. A real gentle work around.
Yeah, they don't look like they'd be good for riding the way they're shaped. Probably not good for riding.
Anything possible.
Although, Sammy Joe, you could probably put them in a cart. They might go in a cart.
That would be fun. I could do that.
She'll ride
now,
it.
You guys, I do still, and I hope you're on the hunt, I do still want my giraffe. So if you keep an eye out for that.
There are plenty of them around. You're going to be, you know, 60 to 100,000.
Okay. Okay. I'll take two. Give me a breeding
pair.
There
you go.
What the bad part is that you're telling us this, and Sammy Joe and I are like, okay, we're going to call Frank. We're going to call this guy. All right.
Yeah.
We got it.
Bidding war.
I'll have a zebra by the time Chad gets home. This is going to be awesome. I mean, a giraffe. This is going to be great. Hi, honey, I didn't get a school horse. I got a giraffe.
Hey, Jamie, you know those six-foot fences? You're going to have to raise those by the time he gets home, too.
Oh, and Sammy, do you want to hit this one on the giraffe?
What was that?
Like, well, the giraffes, actually, you know what? They will stay behind a two-foot wall.
Yeah,
really?
They will, unless they fall over it. They're fairly easy to contain, so... Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot to keep them in.
All right.
Don't tell her that.
Okay, they're really hard. They can fly.
Pretty gentle.
Thank you, guys.
By the way,
let's give out the website here. We have Dominique, Zebras Are, the letter R, Us, ZebrasRUs.com, and Sammy Joe is ZebraGuru.com. Thank you both. This has been a blast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya.
Call me about the giraffe. Okay, bye.
2-foot fence for a giraffe. Can you believe that? Their legs are like 18 feet tall.
So what I'm gathering is it's not going to be the best eventing giraffe because they don't seem to be able to clear high fences.
Jump. Yeah, probably.
Okay, never mind then.
Can you imagine the length of the reins you'd need? You'd need to sew a couple pairs together.
No, because you get them on the bit, and it's not too far away because they're curled over.
Oh.
I've thought about this, Glenn. Okay, I've already thought about it all. And the only problem is I'd have to have, like, an elevated back pad on the saddle because they're pretty up and down. You know, their back is, like, pretty sloped. So I'd need some sort of bracing system to keep the saddle from sliding down the back legs. But I could do it.
Let me just say this. You have way, way too much time to think during the heat of the day in Arizona. You need to get busier out there. Let's hear a little Templeton Thompson tumbling dice, and then we're going to come back and talk about big red dressage fingers.
Sounded kind of weird.
Just me, or does that song seem to take forever to end? That was Tumblin' Dice by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. This show is brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Our Horse Radio Network show highlight of the day is the Stable Scoop radio show that came out on Friday. It's called The Flying Duchess, and if you want to learn about something that I knew nothing about, and that's mounted archery. Apparently, mounted archery, sort of like mounted shooting, is really growing here in the United States and becoming a popular sport. We talked to the goddess of mounted archery here in the United States, a girl by the name of Katie Stearns. She was absolutely fascinating. She travels the world doing mounted archery. And we also talked to the vice president of the Mounted Archery Association of America. So you can find all of that at horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah? I've got to ask, do they allow mounted giraffe archery? Because that might be a better direction for me and my giraffe.
Although you're going to be shooting down. You'll be shooting down at the target. You know what's crazy is, they go at a full, you know, you've seen the mounted shooting before. We've watched the videos of Tammy doing mounted shooting. They go at a full dead run through this course and shoot targets. Well, they do the same thing with archery, except that they're standing straight up in the stirrups, and they have no hands on the reins at all. And they have to pull the arrows out of their sheath, and they have to shoot like five of them in 16 seconds at target. At a full
bed
run.
Not to be whatever, but we've all seen mounted archery. All you have to do is watch Dances with Wolves. Okay.
That's it.
So, me and mounted archery go way back.
Or any old Indian movie.
Exactly. Any old Western.
All right, let's go to Horse Nation.
All right, Leslie is ready here. Every Monday we get to talk to Leslie Wiley from horsenation.com. And I've got a little bone to pick with Leslie, if I may. Leslie... Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you too, bone picker.
So, somebody told me yesterday when I was horse shopping, and she said, you know, I know who you are because I Googled you, and I was like, you Googled me? And she's like, yeah. So you have a radio show. She knew all this stuff about me, and she was like, how was Spain? I'm like, what are you talking about? How do you know about that? So I go home and I sit down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to Google myself because I Google everybody too. So I type in my own name to google.com, and what comes up but an article written on Horse Nation about my Spanish adventure. And the title of the article for us listeners here is our Living the Dream, Jamie Jennings Spanish Adventure. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then there's the picture of me on the beautiful black stallion Deseado, and it's just a beautiful scene. And then I start to read. And let me just read this out loud to our listeners. The Horses in the Morning co-host is off in Spain galloping on the beach and perfecting her pee-off on a fleet of Barbie dream horse-looking Andalusians. Real one. Like she's actually in Andalusia. And her videos were featured on Equitrekking Travel Blog. For more videos that will make you want to toss a glass of sangria in Jamie's face in a fit of jealous rage, check out the story. Also, feel free to listen to the, and in parentheses, in quotes,
yeah,
the one who got left behind.
At least it was a glass of sangria, not a pitcher of sangria. I thought I was going easy on you.
You scaled back a little bit, and now from now on I will call Glenn the one who got left behind. Hey, the one who got left behind. Take it. So realize that when you post things online, somebody's going to Google me at some later date and they're gonna be like, oh my God.
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah. Well, it was all just because I was, you know, I just had a little bit of jealousy and, you know.
And some sangria.
You know what? If you would have thrown it in my face, I would have just generously lapped it up off my forehead because it's so good there.
I know, right? I would just open my mouth.
Toss it in the mouth if you're going to throw it in my face. No, but it was amazing, and you guys definitely, you know, I think that Horse Nation as a whole, because I noticed you're looking for sponsors. Once you get those sponsors, I think that you should take a company trip to Epona Equestrian Center in Spain.
Okay.
And I think I should go with you, and we should cover it together.
Can you imagine? That would be wild.
That'd be quite fun. And then I know you're friends with Lisa from the Chronicle. It'll be a girls' trip. We can all go. Jennifer's in too.
Awesome. But Glenn, you will always be the one. What is that? The one
behind,
who got
apparently.
Left behind.
We can't change his name. I mean, he's still got to be the one who got left behind. So you can't come, Glenn. So let's talk a little bit about Stephen Colbert and the way that this has just blown up in the dressage world. Tell everybody what, you know, kind of give a little backstory and talk about the we're number one, dressage is number one, foam fingers.
Yes, yes. So, you know, so you guys have seen, probably everybody's seen by this point, the video clip from the Colbert Show where Stephen Colbert is just basically making fun of dressage and sort of poking fun at the ridiculousness kind of and snooty nature of it. Mm-hmm. And at one point he's keeps playing clips of horses pee-offing to classical music, and then it flashes back to a picture of him and he's like, woo, and waving this foam finger and drinking some Miller High Life. And he, you know, so you guys have seen that. Well, we know the dressage community could have taken this in one of two directions. You know, they could have been super offended and, you know, gotten their knickers in a twist over it, but they weren't. Instead, and God bless them for this, they decided to run with it. And so this was, this past weekend was the second weekend, two of the USCF Festival of Champions in Gladstone, where, of course, the Olympic selection trials were taking place. And so these photos started surfacing of prominent dressage riders, dressage queens and kings, somebody must have had made a bunch of the big red foam fingers that say dressage is number one. And so there's all these photos floating around of prominent dressage figures wearing the foam fingers and waving around bottles of, I think they're drinking Budweiser. Well, I don't know if they're actually, the flaw of the photos is like not, 9 times out of 10, you know, the bottle isn't actually open.
Yes!
I don't know if you noticed that.
In all
it works better if you take the cap off.
Yeah, clearly not a lot of drinking going on because everybody's like holding the foam finger and holding an unopened beer bottle. You see the cap on it. Like, live a little, guys. Own it.
Yeah, but you've got to applaud them for, you know, the getting into the spirit of the thing. I heard there's even a few people wearing trucker caps, which I didn't actually see a picture of that, but I heard it took place. So.
Jamie, you said there was a video too, right? I haven't seen the video.
Did
the
you see the
video,
Leslie?
I did. You know, they took it down. I never saw the video because it seems like they put it up and then they took it down immediately, and I don't know why. I guess maybe it's too scandalous.
I don't know if it was scandalous, but it was just really painful. Brian O'Connor, who, you know, as you know, he comes to Rolex and he gets the crowd going and is kind of like gets everybody entertained and goes over the show jumping course. Well, he is out there and I think they meant to send this to Stephen Colbert and hopefully somebody stopped him because the entire, the name of the show is the Colbert Rapport. So the T is silent and he made it silent in the report too. So it's the Colbert Report. That's the name of the show. Well, Brian O'Connor, first of all, he can't figure out how to put the foam finger on, and he's got the microphone, and he's got a beer, and he's like just everything is a mess. And he continues to call Stephen Colbert Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert this, Stephen Colbert that. And I was like, oh my God, if he sees that, he is going to crush us even more as horse people.
Right.
And then it continues with Rafalka. They bring this mare out, and they're like, please welcome the star of Stephen Colbert's thing, Rafalka. You know, they bring the mare out, who is absolutely losing her mind. She is freaking out, jumping, spinning, like, and I think they're trying to get her to pee off or something, and she's just spooking. The foam, they give a foam finger to the rider, Jan, and he about gets tossed off because she's like, foam finger, oh my God! I mean, it was not very well done. I expected a little bit more, and at least call him Stephen Colbert, not Stephen Colbert.
Oh my goodness. Do you think they were doing it on purpose just to annoy him, or they really surely?
You know, I would love to give them that much credit, honestly, but I just can't. I just can't.
Right.
I wonder if they had to take it down. I wonder if they got I don't know why they would, though, unless they, I don't know. I was trying to think of some kind of rights violation or something.
I saw it on Event. Oh no, it's on Eventing Nation. Okay, I'll post the link.
Okay.
Well, it's on there, but I think that they said they had, you know, that the link wasn't good anymore because
you're right.
They took the video down.
Yeah, you're right. They did.
Remember the USPS.
Okay, it says this YouTube has been changed to private. I'm not sure why, and I hope it gets switched back soon, but it has not been switched back. Oh, what a bummer. John found that and put it up. At least I got to see it. That's what I get for being friends with Eventing Nation on Facebook. I get quick update.
Right.
Well, you know, I picked on dressage a lot, guys, but I have to give the dressage guys credit. Somebody went out and had those foam fingers made quickly, very quickly, and they embraced this thing. This is the best darn, this is the best publicity dressage has ever gotten, ever. You couldn't ask for better than this. There will be people watching dressage in the Olympics just to see Ann Romney's horse. Whatever, that's fine. So.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great. You know, that's the problem that dressage continually finds itself running up against is its perception in the public with the public and just to make fun of that issue a little bit, I think just Well,
I'm glad that they embraced it. You know, I'm so glad they didn't get mad about it. And I think initially a lot of people did get upset about Stephen Colbert's episode. But the fact that the vast majority of the people made foam fingers and embraced it and drank unopened beer bottles, it was just, you know, I'm so glad they did that.
Right, right. Yeah. Good for them. Good job, guys.
I love it. Now, the other part of your Horse Nation, and I actually read this article, and I found it fascinating, I must say, Leslie, the article about the riding school, and I love the fact that she didn't use her name, or she or he did not use their name. They're just, the name of the article was titled The Riding Instructor, is the one who wrote it, mm-hmm. and it was a great article about how to teach the canter. And
right.
I mean, I read it because I was like, well, maybe I can get some pointers. And I really did. And I loved the article. And now my children that I teach are going to canter for the first time without stirrups every time because I thought that was a great idea.
I thought that was brilliant. And I like, yeah. I mean, it's counterintuitive, but then you think about it and you're like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. Because without stirrups, they can't push themselves away from the saddle. They can mm-hmm. just use their hands to pull themselves down and stick their bums in the seat.
Yeah. So I thought it was a great article, and apparently it was quite popular. Is that correct?
Yeah. It was our most read guest submission of last week. And it seemed to resonate with a lot of people, not just, you know, writing instructors, but people just thinking back to, well, how was I taught to canter, you know? And I think because that can be a really traumatic experience, or not, depending on, you know, how prepared you are to take that step and what circumstances and who you're riding. And then it seemed like a lot of people came on and they're like, nobody really taught me how to canter. I just, you know, just started kicking and...
I'm pretty sure that learning to canter, I think, you know, I had a pony in the backyard, and I never owned a saddle, and I'm pretty sure that the first time I cantered was because I jumped on her from the fence because that's the only way I could get on her, and she just took off. And you either stay on or you don't. But that's not the afforded opportunity to most people. So the fact that she kind of chronicled every step and moment and different ideas and suggestions, you know, teaching a lot of adults that are starting riding, that's probably one of the scariest things. And kids, mm-hmm. I'm tired of posting trot. I'm tired. I want to canter. I'm like, well, you have to nail down the posting trot because there is a moment from the canter to the walk that there is a pretty bouncy posting trot. So you've got to be able to do it. And this article kind of gives you ideas, and I just thought it was great. So if you want to read that, go to horsenation.com. And the last article that I found exciting, and I know that was very popular for you guys too, was the Let's Discuss Scary Jumps.
So you have to weigh in on this as well. Seems like, you know, a lot of people, myself included, like there's just like one type of jump that, you know, whether it's a ditch or triple bar or triple combination, you know, some sort of jump that people just, you know, it's like that's your bogey fence, you know.
Ditches. Ditches. Without
ditches.
A doubt.
Yeah.
For some reason, you know, as many times as I tell people, don't look down, keep your eyes up. If you look down, you're going to end up there. You're going to go where you look. For some reason, I come right up to a ditch, and I'm like, oh, my God, look how deep it is. I'm going to fall in and die. And my horse is completely unconcerned about it. He's like, whatever, woman, you're crazy. But for some reason, and then somebody tried to get me to jump a ditch with a wall, and it was a small wall behind it, but like a ditch and wall, are you kidding me? No, thank you. I do not need to do that ever. Because it just adds some scary to a ditch. Let's throw a wall right behind it and jump that. Hell to the no.
I like Rachel, who posted on your page on Horse Nation. She posted, nothing on cross country worries me, but any stadium combination scares the bejesus out of me. Well, there's a girl that's a little backwards. Every other one's talking about the cross country jump, you know?
Downbanks, corners. And I love this. I'm talking about the corners where you're better off laying a ladder up against it and walking up the stairs.
Right. Well, I think the picture that I posted with that story
where
was
is that
kind
from?
Of, it, it was kind of, it's kind of the epitome of my, like, worst nightmare as far as the jump goes. It was actually, it was a Venting Nation photo from, Lommel, you know, the German
the Mühlen.
Star that just had a, yeah,
Lommel.
The
Mühlen.
Exactly.
from last year, and I think it was a, you know, sort of an alternate fence, but it's just like, it looks like a joke to me, you know, like, haha, like, no, that's, it's so ridiculous. It's like a brush chevron, right, that's super duper skinny. So I don't even know
horse.
Horse
fit through those flags.
right. There was, so those are, so skinny fences for some reason, even though I have an honest straight horse, really, really, like, I was at, I think it was Rocking Horse a few years ago, and I was doing intermediate, and the course designer had this jump. It was, thought it was funny to, it was like a stump. It was probably, I don't know, 2.5, maybe 3 feet wide, probably not even 3 feet wide, and they put, it was like, you know, 3'6", something like that high, and then they put a picnic basket on top of it because it was like near Easter weekend and they were doing a bunch of Easter themed jumps, and then they flagged it as an alternate fence, and I, along with several other riders, kind of freaked out. I was like, there's no way my horse won't even fit through there, like, this is ridiculous. And then they made an announcement that it was actually a joke fence.
Oh, thank God. Good Lord. Yeah. Don't make jokes on cross country. Let me just tell all organizers from now on, don't make any cross country jokes. There's nothing funny. So just so you guys know, real quick before we let you go, Leslie, that Jennifer found a rebuttal to the Colbert piece. Now, this is definitely not the one that I saw. This is a totally different one. This is one that they've actually put together that looks good, and it's all done well, and it's not... not Brian O'Connor standing out there with Rafaka standing behind him freaking out. So this is a nice version, Jennifer. This is a very nice version.
So okay. That's what, where is it on YouTube then?
Yeah, Jennifer posted it on our Facebook page. So you can find it on Horses in the Morning.
But this is definitely not the one. Oh, you can see when he does lift up the foam finger, you can see Rafaka spook a little bit. So you can see that. But this is much
obviously
better.
They pulled that first one down when probably his dad, David O'Connor, saw it and went, get that down.
Brother.
Oh, brother, yeah, sorry.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh,
well,
man.
Well, listen, okay. Leslie, it's been awesome having you on. Thank you for posting the pictures and linking to Darlie's blog about me being in Spain. It actually definitely made me smile. And I appreciate it. But, however, my bargaining power for the horse that I potentially could buy was shot when she realized I'd been riding Andalusians in Spain. She's like, the price went up. The horse.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like, well, you don't understand. I've saved my whole life for this trip. And she, whatever.
Right.
She didn't care. She's like, whatever. You can just go ride horses in Spain. You suck. No, but anyway, thank you for that. And everybody, please check out horsenation.com. And Leslie, we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay,
sounds great.
Take care.
Bye. Yeah,
yeah,
I think that's
definitely
what happened. Yeah,
because
I think that's
that
what happened.
Video, it was so painful, and just the way it was put together, it was kind of poorly shot, and I think Brian O'Connor's amazing. I think he's such a great entertainer and such a great commentator and announcer. This just was not put together well. You know, it just it wasn't his fault. It was just like, it was kind of thrust at him. So, but they did have a song and, well, that was really bad too. So.
I'll have to watch this one, see if it's any better.
It's like they should have Stephen Colbert's writers be there to do, write the rebuttal. Because he has plenty of them.
Well, I'll watch this today. If the audio is good, we'll play it in tomorrow's show. We'll play the rebuttal tomorrow.
Okay, cool. It looks like it should be playable, so we'll do that. But anyway, good. Thanks to Leslie for coming on, and obviously we learned a little bit about zebras today, and we'll have to have them on for a follow-up.
Yeah, they're fun. That, you know, they're both fun, and they both are in a similar business. You know, they don't always agree on training techniques between the two of them, but they're in a similar business. They both do commercials. They both do TV, radio work, stuff like that. By the way, we tomorrow we'll talk a little bit. We finally got to see what movie did we get to see? We got to see Snow White over the weekend.
Oh, how was it?
You know, I liked it. Jennifer didn't like it so much, but I liked it. We were with my brother and his wife, and they liked it. I wouldn't say it was the best movie ever, but it was. The special effects were unbelievable. And tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about the horses in the movie, because there were a lot of them. So
perfect.
We'll talk a little bit about the horse without giving any spoilers. We won't give away any spoilers.
Question, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Chad's out of town, and I've been wanting to go and see it, and I would be going by myself. Is this a movie that's going to scare me too much to not be able
no.
to hide my face
no.
in his shoulder?
Jennifer, do you think? I don't think so at all. You're on mute, Jennifer, I think.
We can't hear you.
Are you there? We can't hear you.
Jeez,
I'm here. It just takes a while. This is
okay.
Not a scary movie.
No.
No?
Yeah, I didn't
no.
think so.
Not scary.
Now, there were some people, the movie theater was almost full, and there were some people that had brought their little kids to this movie, I think, thinking they were going to see Snow White. And they were taking their kids out after about 10 minutes. Wisely so. This is not a movie for little kids. This
so she was
ruin...
not standing in the forest, singing
oh,
to the birds.
Oh, at one point she was standing in the pretty forest, yes, but shortly before everything started to die. Yeah, so...
No birds landing on her finger that she was singing to, little blue birds and red birds, and she wasn't, like, dancing with, ribbons. And were there the seven dwarfs?
Yes, the seven dwarfs were there, and actually they were kind of the comic relief of the movie, I think.
Okay, perfect.
Seven
so I think
there.
I'll go.
Well, yeah, I think you should go. You should go tonight so we can talk about it together tomorrow.
Because there's Andalusians in it, and I want to see them.
Yes, that was one of the comments I'm going to make tomorrow about this movie.
Okay. All right. We'll stop talking about it then. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld. And if you don't geld, please breed responsibly. Only breed
and
the
get best. A hoop pick. Get a hoop.